NRI Wellness brings you the latest health and nutrition information, creates customized nutrition programs, and walks you through the process to ensure your success.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. This is another dynamic episode of 10 Dimensions of Wellness. I am your host, the owner of NRI Wellness, Cammy Red. And today we have a great guest, and he's coming from us all the way across the pond, as they say, Lee Chambers of Essentialized Functional Life Coaching. Lee, we're going to start off by first thanking you for being on the show. Thanking you for just giving us your time today. But first, tell us all about Lee. Tell us your wellness journey, how you got to this point.
Yeah, so it's a pleasure to be with you today, Cammy, and share my story and a little bit about what I do. So it's kind of helped people get an understanding of why I do what I do today and the journey that I've been on. If we start back at the very beginning, as a young boy, I grew up in the north of England. I come from a blue collar family, and I was always that curious and disruptive child. But I always got good grades at school, and I was always trying to find how things worked, why things were the way that they were. And I never really took anything for granted. I always wanted to know a little bit more information. And back then, before the days of the internet, I'd have my head in books. I'd be absolutely everywhere. When that kind of came as I grew into a teenager, I found that I was still very much interested in the science of things and why the world was like it was. And I was trying to really start to define who I was as a young man. And I continued to get good grades, despite quite often not really putting much effort in as a lazy young boy. And I got through to college here in the UK and then got through to university. I decided that I wanted to study international business psychology simply because they offered lots of different units. So I got to study the psychology of business, the psychology of consumerism, but also understand business principles and look at geopolitics, comparative democracies, and language and communication. So that really wide range of things really interested me because I still really didn't know what I wanted to do at that age of 18, 19. And I really enjoyed going to university. I was the first one in my family to do so, so I didn't really know what to expect. But the autonomy and the freedom really lit me up inside at that point, because suddenly I was able to start shaping who I wanted to become. Except in the second year, I started to struggle quite a bit with that. So I really started to find that I didn't have the self-awareness or emotional intelligence as a young man to define and express who I was authentically. And I just found that when I tried to kind of access myself and understand it a bit more, I just wasn't able to navigate my emotions and really navigate who I was. And that led me to look out to society. And as a young black man, I saw rappers, I would see sports stars, I would see film actors, but not someone who was like me to model, someone who's kind of like a soup between a scientist, an entrepreneur, and a philosopher. And really, I didn't find anyone to model off because there wasn't anyone out there like me. I was definitely a unique character in that respect. So I look back to my childhood and realize that I'd never really had deep, meaningful conversations with people in my family. It'd always been very surface level, and that had not really given me the tools as an adult to go and explore the world. So what actually happened is I started to struggle considerably. My self-care started to drop off. I started to struggle academically. I choked and froze delivering a presentation at university in front of 300 students and felt particularly small, my confidence knocked. And then I started to have issues around, I was working at the time. I had to continue working due to ultimately my life circumstances and my background. And what happened is that all really came together and I started to miss work. I started to miss university. I started to not attend the societies and clubs that I did. I started to isolate myself and avoid life because I didn't feel like I had the answer. I didn't feel like I had a breakthrough. And this led to 2 weeks of isolation where I locked myself in my university dorm and didn't see anyone, didn't communicate with anyone. and it led to my parents coming to the dorm, breaking in and taking me home. And for me, those mental health challenges, those struggles that I had, that was the first time I faced real adversity in my life. And I didn't know how to transmute that, how to handle it, and how to move forward. But being taken home by my parents, it took me out of that pressure, away from that scenario, and actually gave me some time to reflect and start to really understand what had actually happened. Looking and reflecting and having that space allowed me to see that, yeah, I was having some significant mental health challenges, but at the same time, I could start to navigate those, but it would be an acceptance of me going on a journey, accepting that adversity doesn't discriminate and you will have challenges in your life, accepting that I wasn't failing as a person, as a young man, just some of the processes and scenarios that I found myself in had started to fail. And that gave me a foundation and a platform then to start to build myself back up. And I spent 6 months really working on my own confidence, starting to become more self-aware, starting to understand that you can't think your way to clarity on these things. You can't just find your purpose in the middle of a book. It actually requires you to be courageous, step outside your comfort zone and start to grow and build yourself up as a person. And that suffering allowed me to see that actually so often the ability to find yourself and understand yourself a bit more comes by going out there and finding what you don't like as much as what you do. And I went back to university after 6 months, re-enrolled and managed to pass the things that I'd failed due to isolating myself. I managed to graduate in 2007. So I'd fallen into the trench, but I'd managed to get back up a mountain again. And that became a little lesson for me to take forward in my life, but also made me really passionate about other young men who were struggling to navigate their emotional intelligence, struggling to define themselves and struggling to have those conversations and ask for help, because it is challenging. And if you don't practice these, you know, these mental exercises, if you don't start to look at your emotions and find out how to express them healthily, if you don't look to start to understand how you work yourself, you won't have the tools when you need it. So that's something that's very passionate about me and the wellness work that I do, is equipping young men with the ability to do that. So graduating in 2007, I really had to think, Lee, what do you enjoy? And the two things that I enjoy are helping people and patterns, statistics, algorithms, and numbers. I blended the two together, fused them, and thought, I want to be a financial advisor. I can go and help people with their finance, including their financial well-being. And then I would get my little fun of looking at their compound interest and finding the products that would give them the biggest return. So that, for me, that was perfect. Except 2007 was not a perfect time. I got onto a graduate scheme with an esteemed national bank here in the UK. So for me, that was great. Except 6 months in, the economic crash hit, and it hit really bad in the financial sector. And I lost my funding for my training. And then, unfortunately, I lost the job. So again, I was suddenly felt a bit back at square one and a bit frustrated that these ideas, this journey that I'd kind of started to draw out, had been removed, because I had to move back home because I didn't have the finance to continue living where I was living. And back in the back bedroom of my parents' house, I had to ask myself a serious question. There was no finance jobs out there, and thousands upon thousands of more experienced people in that industry had also been made redundant. So I decided I was going to set up my own business. So that's what I went and did. I decided to set up a video game business. And went back working in local government, realizing that I needed to understand how to navigate other industries and try and find a way to continue to give back and help people, because selling video games is great, but it wasn't helping people. And I built the video game business up very quickly, 6 figures in 7 months, doubled in revenue for the first 3 years. But all through that, I continued to work, started to work with people who'd been made redundant themselves, helping them find what industry they wanted to go into, and then helping them build the confidence up and build the communication skills to be able to tell people at interview about their value and why they wanted to, you know, become that type of person. And that was great because it's the first time I was able to take people on a effectively a coaching journey from not really knowing what they wanted to knowing more of what they wanted to building the confidence to going getting what they wanted. It was incredibly fulfilling. And then it got to a point where I was like, this is good. The business is good. My son was born. Me and my wife bought our first house together and got married. And life just seemed to have fallen into place. And 2014 comes along. I just turned 29. And my wife's 6 months pregnant with our daughter. And I'm just about to become a father of two and, you know, kind of complete the family. And then all of a sudden, over the course of a week, I become seriously unwell and lose the ability to walk as my immune system attacks the connective tissue in my joints, basically turning both my knees into the size of footballs, putting my right shoulder up by my ear and turning my wrist into something that looked like an alien hand. And all of a sudden, my life completely changed because I was immobile and I'd lost all my independence. And this had happened so quickly, I was in shock. When the shock wore off, I was in an awful lot of pain. And I had those negative emotions come through at that point. The frustration, the despair. My 18-month-old son coming to the hospital, looking at me with big eyes, saying, "Daddy, why can't you play?" My wife coming after work just before she started maternity leave to feed me, to help me shower myself and go to the toilet. And I tried to express those emotions as healthily as I could, speaking to people and just trying to get through it. And I got to the second week in hospital, got moved up onto a long-term ward, looking out over the fields across to the town where I was born. And I realized that I'd not been grateful for walking until I lost it. And I'd not been grateful enough to the people who now come and help me to do the basic things. And I'd not been grateful enough for the fact that I grew up in the UK, never under conflict, environmental disaster, famine. I'd always had food and shelter, freedom to set up a business, free education, free healthcare, so many opportunities. I need to be proactive in getting back on my feet and recovering. I need to believe that I can. I need to remove any boundaries or limits that society might put on me. And I need to be consistent and take ownership over my health. And I spent 11 months working through walking rehab, intensive physio, hydrotherapy to get back on my feet. And that was in so many ways for my children. Not long after coming out of hospital, my daughter was born and she there holding her, knowing that in a few months she would be walking too. I was absolutely determined that I would be walking with her when she started walking. And that became the fire inside of me on those mornings when I was in pain, when I was stiff, when I didn't feel like doing the things that I needed to do. I said, I am going to become the father who walks with my daughter. And that fueled me every day. And I had some setbacks. I had problems with my spine. I had problems with my walking gait. But I went back, took those challenges, understood that it doesn't always go the way that you want it to, and then kept moving forward. And that really became the blueprint for the business that I run today. And I then decided after walking again after 11 months, what else can I possibly do? Because I was on medication that dampened my immune system, which is really toxic and not very pleasant at all. And I decided that my next challenge would be to become medication free. So I started to track the food that I ate. I started to track my sleep and I started to track how much I moved, the exercise that I did, and started to really experiment and find what worked for me, what energized me, what drained me, what caused inflammation, what I could tolerate. And 3 years of tracking, I started to get more of an idea. I started to get a real acuity to be able to listen to my body. And more so, I've actually, 3 months ago, became medication free after 6 years of trying to come off the medication. And that's been so vital for me. But now, that is a pivotal part of my journey because I've been able to control a chronic disease which left me unable to walk without medication just by lifestyle alone. And to me, wellness is about that, experimenting to find how you can control your own health. So often, some people do need medication. And some people suffer so much that they're in very, very difficult and disadvantaged situations. And yet for our own wellness, even for me, I managed to go from, in some ways, illness to wellness just by working on my own mindset, on my sleep, on my nutrition, on my movement and on my habits. And that's a massive part of what I do today, because now I help other people to do the same thing. In fact, I tend to help people before they hit that crisis point, before their health starts to fail, and really help them to inspire them, enable them and empower them to understand that your health is in your control. And so often it compounds negatively, but because that quite often happens over such a long period, people don't take it seriously until it becomes serious. But your wellness is in your control, and you can continue to really do so many little things. So often people believe you have to make significant changes. It's lots of small positive changes together that spiral you upwards. They're compound, like compounding money in a bank account. They're like your savings, and you can put your little deposits of health away every day by just doing a few simple things and starting to treat your body as a little bit of an experiment. Get your lab coat on. It's like you're in science at school again, because we are the biggest experiment that we have. We'll spend our whole lives trying to understand and explore ourselves. And yet the beauty is that's all in your control. For me, I look back now and realize that becoming seriously unwell, it knocked me out of the pattern of comfort and, you know, staying still, chasing security and stability that I was in, and really became a defining reason why I'm able to sit here today and talk about wellness, having a wellness business and being in a field where I can make a difference to people's lives every single day.
So Lee, we've talked about you. Let's touch upon some of the things that you do with your clients. You know, this journey into wellness is difficult within itself for us personally, but dealing with other people and getting them into a transitional lifestyle, what's been some of the biggest challenges you faced in your wellness business?
Yeah, Cammie, some of the biggest challenges, they tend to pop up quite often, and I've become quite accustomed to trying to find ways to break through them and really help my clients to start to see how they can benefit. So I think the biggest one, and this is always a challenge, but it's something that I do a lot in my own coaching, is having that well-being, wellness why, that reason inside of them. And I almost like to think that some people quite often come to me and their why of why they want to start to improve their health outcomes, it's like a little candle inside of them. So they literally just lit that candle, and that's their reason why. And they start with really big intentions, good intentions and a plan. And all of a sudden, when it gets challenging, like it always does, things come in life that disrupt you. The winter always comes. And when that winter comes, the wind blows and it blows the candle out. And all of a sudden they fall away from the behaviors that they try to change, and they feel like they've failed and they have to try and start all over again. And when you actually are able to really define why and really get a bit deeper into the reasons why you want to start to improve your wellness and feel like you have more energy every day, more time to do the things that you love, those reasons, those people that you want to stay well for, and the reasons, the legacy, the purpose you've got on this planet and why you need to be well so you can do that, that candle inside you, it's not a candle anymore. It becomes a fire. And when you really identify that fire, when adversity comes, because adversity doesn't discriminate, you're going to face it. You're going to face plenty of it over your life. But when that wind comes, it blows your fire and fuels it rather than blowing it out. And you actually become more determined to keep going with your health behaviors, more determined to start to look at other areas of your life and try to improve them, because these things all improve together. And to kind of understand that why requires questioning, because quite often people don't have the clarity. It all seems very blurry. it's so often something quite, you know, tangible in the shorter term, like I want a beach body, or I want to look this way, or I want to wake up in the morning and jump out of bed, or I just want to feel healthier. But those are really abstract reasons, and they won't keep you going. But if it's I want the energy to play with my grandchildren, I want to be able to go on holiday with my wife and go walking across the mountains, I actually want to feel like I can go and make a difference in the world and give back. And if my cup's empty, I don't have anything to give other people. And we start to look and start to think deeper. What is it that you want to bring? Because when you want something, when you know what you want, and when it's a big reason, suddenly those little changes in your health, that's worthwhile. That's a cost worth paying. That's like a few dimes. It's not even dollars anymore. And when things seem small compared to your big compelling vision, your big reason, it's actually so much easier to turn these little things into habits, to stay consistent. And more importantly, it doesn't matter how you feel about doing them, because they are what you want to become. And you want to become that healthier, more well person. And that overall picture really starts to help you to go from trying to go on a diet, or trying to lose some weight, or trying to get fit, to actually trying to become the person that I want to be. And it becomes more than just a few meal plans, a few sleep schedules. Another thing that comes across often as a challenge is ultimately that people want to make massive changes, and they want to see some benefit right away. So we do live in that, you know, I want it now, immediate gratification environment. It's something that has really kind of polluted human beings over recent years. And truth be told, health compounds over time. You don't go to the gym for a week and then suddenly turn into a muscle man. And it's exactly the same with your health. You have to become consistent and make small changes over time. So lots of people try to make big changes. They go into the gym of health every day for a week and spend 2 hours there. And all they feel is sore, pained, and not seeing any difference. So they give up. Oh, it's not worth it. And truth be told, if you ate that cake, that donut, and it put 50 pounds on you, you wouldn't eat it. But over time, you would eat many donuts because, oh, it's just one donut, doesn't matter. And a big part of my work is helping people see you don't need to go on a diet. You don't need to go make massive changes and suddenly become the most active person in the world. If you're looking at your mental, physical, emotional, financial, spiritual wellness, it all starts with small changes. You start to save a little bit of money. You start to take a little bit of time out of the day to reflect, to meditate, to have some active rest, to prayer, to a little bit of time for you. Or you go and walk. You go and get some sunlight in your eyes. You make some small changes. You eat a little bit better. In fact, maybe actually start to experiment with things and find out what really works for you. Because we do live in a world where people want things to be easy. Truth be told, things are easy, but there is no one who can answer the question of what's good for me. That comes from within you. And sometimes that does require you to go and experiment with food, with different types of exercise, to find really what energizes you, what's good for you. And secondly, what you enjoy. Because when it comes to health behaviors, there's no point going doing things you don't enjoy to try and get healthy. It's counterproductive because you won't stay consistent in the long term, because it needs to be something that you enjoy and something that really benefits you. And that is why with my clients, we actually look at a whole range of things. I give people permission to go and try, but I say, if you don't enjoy running, don't try and go running. because there'll be a point where you decide that it's just not worth it anymore because you don't enjoy it. Life is too short to be trying to be healthy doing things you don't enjoy. And yeah, you know what? You might not like all these healthy foods, but you don't need to eat healthy foods all the time. In fact, you can make healthy foods pretty tasty if you actually think about the opportunities. When people start to see, I'm deprived, I can't have this, I can't have that. Damn it, look at what you can have and what you can make. Because especially here in the Western world, you're spoiled for choice. In fact, all that choice actually drains your willpower and makes it harder to live effectively, to live more healthily. And I suppose that kind of goes into some of the other challenges that we face, because in the culture, in the world that we live in at the moment, it's very, very challenging to be healthy because there's lots of different agendas pulling your attention. And so often you actually need to make a significant effort to go out and live a healthier life. And we have become, as a human race, very used to being comfortable. In fact, many people chase comfort. But more often than not, comfort is the antithesis of wellness, because you have to stretch your boundaries, get outside your comfort zone, experiment and try new things to be healthy. That's especially not just for your body, but for your mind, for your bank account, and for your spirituality. And especially when it comes to your, you know, your intelligent wellness, because you need to go and expand your mind and learn new things. Every day we're human beings, we're neuroplastic. We are designed to have an intellectual wellness that is stretched, that allows us to really expand our minds and become, you know, effectively wiser as time goes by. And when we have and start to understand that, actually, we don't need to go and do a degree. We don't need to go and do these massive things. But if you can take every area of wellness and do a little bit every day, all of a sudden you'll find that in a year, you don't recognize the person that you were. And in 10 years, you'll be a completely different person. And it's, again, it's not massive changes. It's so small. And I really help my clients to understand that it's the small changes. You've got to try and make it easy. You've got to try and make it simple. And you've got to prepare. So often in this busy life that we live, it's easy for things to just fall by the wayside if we've not prepared them. So I say to my clients, if you want to, you know, prepare your food, well, leave something out so you remember. If you want to go and exercise and walk around the block in the morning, leave your walking clothes by the side of your bed. If you want to, you know, read a book, put it next to your chair. If you want to lie on a mat and listen to a positive podcast like this for 10 minutes a day for a whole week, I definitely suggest that. But make sure your mat is just there, ready to roll out. And in so many ways, it's those small things that we do over time, all added together. And if we just saw it as little plus one moments, and at the end of the day, we had plus 50 rather than minus 50, that adds up. In fact, if health was a money in a bank account, people would treat it completely differently. And that's so strange, because that money in a bank account is just some zeros on a screen. It doesn't even exist. And yeah, so I mean, there's also other challenges that people face. The groups.
Let me ask you this: tell me about a time that a client touched your heart and it actually changed the way you do your business or changed the way you do your coaching service.
Yeah, so I've had quite a few clients that have made major transformations, and so often it surrounds when you dig deep, very deep into that why. So I worked closely with a gentleman about a year ago now. He started with me, and he was in really in despair. He'd felt like his whole life and health had fallen apart, and that was impacting his work, his relationships, just really his own self-belief and his identity. He felt like he was an imposter in his own body. He felt like he'd let himself just, you know, go. And I gradually worked with him to really dig deeper into the reasons why. And we managed to get deep down, so deep that we started to realize that actually it was because he was holding things from his childhood, beliefs that he simply wasn't worthy of looking after himself because of some of the things that he'd been told, some of the experiences that he'd had. And when we got to that point, I could see it. Sometimes it doesn't matter about all the top level stuff, the habits, the behavior change and all that stuff, when really deep down people don't believe it, because we'll achieve what we can believe. But for so many people, they have beliefs that limit them, and they will come back and sabotage any attempt to make a change in their life because they don't believe they can change. They don't believe they're worthy of looking after themselves. And my experience of going through that with him and getting to the point where he actually decided, he realized, we worked on, do you believe that you deserve to be healthy, to be happy, to have the life that you want? And going through that process, he unlocked himself. He suddenly had a reason why to take himself back. And he changed his life. He changed the people he surrounded himself with. He changed his relationship situation. He suddenly became a father to his kids in the way that he wanted to be. And suddenly, he'd unlocked himself. And that caused so many other positives in his life. He suddenly became someone who was able a few weeks ago to run a marathon for charity. And when he first came to me, he'd never run in his life in any kind of competitive way. And it just shows that for all the stuff that spouted out there about, oh, do this, do this, do this, it's easy, it all starts with your clients, with their inner self-talk, their inner beliefs, their inner limits and boundaries. But the truth be told, they have all the answers inside of them. And sometimes you just need to help them get down to the nitty-gritty and get those answers out. And then they feel like they have permission to look after themselves, permission to chase the things that they want to, and actually permission to change their health for the better and take ownership over it. Because all of a sudden, I feel empowered, enabled to go and make a change.
This is a 2-second nutrition tip. Today's tip is pack a nutritious lunch to bring to work every single day for at least a week. Then try it again the next week. Let me know how it goes. This has been a 2-second nutrition tip.
All right, Lee. Well, we know about some challenges that, you know, most clients face. Why don't you just tell us about Essentialize? Tell us about your coaching program. What is, describe the process behind your coaching program, the difference between your one-on-one and your workplace well-being workshops.
Yeah, Cammie. So we'll dig deep into the one-on-one program first. And that's a program that generally I work with a lot of entrepreneurs and small business owners, but it's a program that works really well for a lot of people who are finding themselves overwhelmed, finding themselves, you know, quite stuck, or actually finding themselves at a bit of a crossroads where they have a number of different paths to take, and it just helps them get on the right path. But it's also really handy for people who are suffering with chronic health conditions, but looking to keep going, keep positive and actually get more energy. So it all starts with having a discovery call with myself. And that's where we really build that initial coaching relationship and see if my system, my delivery and my style really resonates with you. Because the biggest thing about coaching is some people are perfect clients for you and you will just fuse together like a harmony and make amazing music. Some people are just not your clients, and that's the beauty of the world. But a discovery call is really important so that we actually find, are we on the same tune, the same note, and do we resonate with each other? And for clients that do resonate with me, we then actually go and dig a bit deeper into the program. So my coaching program is, I've designed it around a lot of the work that I've done, my lived experience, but also the qualifications that I've got in a number of different modalities. So every program actually starts with a module around purpose, direction, mission, and meaning. So that's really where we dig into your why. So we before we start any of the health and wellness coaching, we actually go into you. Why do you want to make a change? What is it that you're looking to achieve? What are the obstacles that are stopping you at the moment from doing that yourself? And what are the opportunities that you're not taking advantage of? We actually start to look a bit deeper at the goals and ambitions and targets that the people have set, and start to actually dig a bit deeper about why they set those, if they have set any at all. Because so often people have a reason why, but if you dig a little bit deeper, there's a reason for the reason. And more often than that, there's quite a few reasons for the reason of why you've decided that you want to chase that particular ambition, that particular target or goal. And that sometimes takes a session or two to get deep enough. When we get deep enough, you've got that reason, that why, that fire inside you to move on into the health coaching section, the module where we start to look at experimenting with your nutrition, looking to optimize your sleep, and starting to look at how much you move and seeing how you can start to experiment with those and start to build little habits that actually make you feel better overall, start to get more energy, more time to do things. But as we start to build that health up, you'll have more energy for the journey that you want to go on, that direction that you've defined in the purpose module. And that sometimes can take quite a while. I don't see everyone all the time, and I generally let people make a decision about how quickly they want to implement these things. Because the most important thing is that you do it at your pace. And for some people, that is quicker. They ultimately want it, want it, want it. Some people a little bit slower. And the power is to actually allow people to pick their own pace, but can make ensure that they are accountable for those changes. And so often, because they've really defined a powerful why, they will continue to be consistent and build these new practices. And once we've got to a place where you ultimately say, you know what, I'm compounding, I'm starting to feel my health improve, my energy is improving, I honestly feel that I've got more to give, we move into the third section, the third module, which looks at mindset and habits. So we start to look at your psychology, why you see the world the way that you do. Why do you have the emotions, the thoughts, the feelings? We start to explore that a little bit, because as people start to get more understanding of that, we start to actually dig a bit deeper into those beliefs and habits that are holding them back, the things that they've told themselves a number of times or have been put in their little backpacks as they've been growing up, things that are no longer serving them and beliefs that are actually stopping them from making the changes that they need to change. And we go and we dig a little bit and people feel really, you know, enlightened in that period, because all of a sudden, they start to be able to listen to themselves a bit more. They start to understand a bit more about why the brain is like it is. And they start to understand themselves a bit more as a person. And, you know, a client has said to me, going through that module, felt like I was literally giving them the keys to themselves. And that's really powerful. And what that actually then does is it moves into the fourth module, which is planning that life from there. Because you've decided what you want and your direction, you're continuing to build those health behaviors and getting more energy and feeling better in yourself and starting to see change. You know, you're possibly losing weight or becoming a bit fitter or finding that actually mentally you're a bit happier, you're more fulfilled. And we start to actually then look at the psychology section and, you know, what has that done for you? Taking all that into account, we then start to make a plan for getting to where you want to be. We look at your life in 10 years. What do you want to become? Who do you want to be? Then we break that down all the way from that big dream into small actionable steps, little things you can do every month to keep going, to keep moving in the right direction towards the life that you want, towards the health that you want, and really starting to feel like you are connected, clear, and just have that passion for life, because it's that passion that will keep you feeling well. And we create a map. We have a journal, and you then get something tangible that you can look at every day, the journal you can fill out every day. And in that journal, you look at continuing opportunities, gratitude. We ask you questions that psychologically take you from one place to another, but they keep you thinking, keep you on your toes, and keep you accountable to yourself. And for some clients, we do then continue onwards with coaching calls every month or two, just to keep them accountable and on track. And through that process, you know, I've had a number of clients, they make significant breakthroughs, including completely changing jobs, setting up new businesses. And for a few clients, they've actually moved country and migrated because it's what they wanted to do.
Wow. Okay. So that's the gist of your program. Tell people how they can get in contact with you.
Yeah. So the best ways to get in contact with me are to visit essentialize.co.uk or my website, leechambers.org. And on both of those websites, you will find email addresses for my services, contact numbers that can be found internationally, and also links to every social media channel. And I will be able to answer any queries you have on those. And if you send me any kind of information and reference that you've come from this podcast, I'm very much happy to give you a discount on your first session, because Cammie's great and you're great people.
So you heard it, you, as with all of our podcast guests, because they know that the value of their services. If you heard about Essentialize and Lee Chambers here on the 10 Dimensions of Wellness, please mention that when you go and sign up for a discovery call with him, just so that he'll know that you guys actually paid attention to what he was saying on this podcast. So,
if you want to be seen, you have to stop being invisible to opportunity. I'm Kay Henry, licensed mental health counselor and host of Black Therapy Uncensored. Your prescription to positivity starts here.
All right, you guys, this has been another fantastic episode of the 10 Dimensions of Wellness. I am so grateful to have Lee Chambers from Essentialize on our show today. He gave us some really great information. He told us about his wellness journey. Now, you guys know at the end of the show, as we wrap up, we ask all of our guests our four patented questions. So, Lee, first, thank you for being on the show and giving us your time.
Yeah, it was my pleasure.
Awesome. Now, my first question for you is, what's been the biggest surprise you've had in the last few months?
Oh, wow. So, I mean, I've had a lot of surprises. But possibly the biggest surprise is yesterday, I actually found out that I'd been nominated as a finalist for 2 awards for businesses. And that was massive for me because...
Congratulations!
Thank you, Cammie. So I've been so focused on making a difference, making an impact, and having a business that's been purposeful. And what's funny is obviously people have been watching and paying attention, but because I'm so passionate about what I do, that I don't tend to stick my ears in the air very often. I'm always trying to do the best I can for my clients and make a real difference to the schools that I go into and to the community groups and the volunteering that I do. And I'm always trying to look for ways to give back. And all of a sudden I've got a little bit of recognition for the work that I do. And that's been a little bit of a shock, and I've had to kind of process it. And when they told me yesterday, I actually found out from another business owner that I was talking to, and it didn't really go in, but this morning it kind of hit me and I started to just realize, oh wow, like I am making a difference because someone's decided to recognize that, and suddenly I'm up for an award for Entrepreneur of the Year and New Business of the Year. So.
Oh, wow. That was a really great award. Congratulations again. Now, let me ask you this. What do you wish you'd known 10 years ago that you know now?
Oh, so I think that definitely comes down to 10 years ago, I was always a bit worried about what was going to happen. And I think when you're young, you do tend to worry, like, what's it going to be like? Well, like, what's going to happen to me? And now I've got children, you know, I've got a business that's really purposeful and lights me up every day. And we've been through possibly the biggest challenge in my lifetime, especially as a human race over these past few months. And what I've realized is I didn't need to worry. I could have just lived happily as a young 20-year-old and just lived and enjoyed it. Because in all truth, there's no point worrying about the uncertainty of the future. and about all these bigger things, because you never know what's around the corner. And I didn't know I was going to have my health issues, and I didn't know I was going to run into a global pandemic in the past few months. But you know what? If you're not worrying too much and you're living and you're kind of living to your purpose and your mission, you'll find that you don't worry at all, because you're always moving positively forward, and you've got an abundant mindset and you're seeing the opportunities. And when you see the world like that, you don't tend to worry so much. And I just think that so often as a young man, you want everything to be figured out. And then you understand that life can't be figured out at all.
No, not at all. Life is not perfect and you can't make a plan. Let me ask you this. What inspires you or makes you feel like your best self?
Yeah, so I coach a disability soccer team with other young males who have disabilities, different types, some physical, some mental, some emotional. And being able to, and having the privilege to coach them, playing soccer and just letting them run round and, you know, practice doing something that they enjoy, that's the thing that inspires me most, because I'm so aware that, especially with me having lost the ability to walk and then actually having played for that team as part of my recovery, that so much of their lives have been spent with people telling them, you can't do this and you can't do that because of your disability, and you'll never become this, and you'll always have to have someone who looks after you, and you'll never be able to, you know, achieve this. And I coach them and I say, you know what, you can be what you want to be. And yeah, it's going to be a challenge. And yeah, you might not have the opportunities that other people have. But here, when you come coaching with me, we're a team. And we go and play against other teams in our own special league. And you know what? It's quite often the best day for them. They come with a smile. We play together. And it doesn't matter what challenges they face, because when we're playing together, coaching them, helping them, supporting them, encouraging them, I just feel inspired, because they show just what's possible, that even when you have significant challenges, you can go out there and do so much. And that really inspires me every day.
Awesome. Now, if you could erect a billboard with anything on it, what would it say and why?
So if I could erect a billboard, the billboard would say, life is about connection. It's not about perfection. So often we're trying to have everything worked out. We're trying to have things perfect, but perfect doesn't exist. It's the lowest possible standard, because as soon as you want things to be perfect, the lowest it can be is 10. The highest it can be is 10, and you've got nowhere to move. And most things in life will never be a 10. But really, when we connect with other people and stop chasing this perfect, we actually feel like a 10. You feel like a 10 inside, because perfection comes from being around other human beings, from helping them, from connecting with them, talking with them, encouraging them. And in the same way, taking that back, you know, being appreciated, giving gratitude. And all of a sudden, that's what makes life tick. That's what makes humans smile. It's about the connection. And we live in a world where people are too often, they're stuck looking at the phone, trying to do this. They don't speak to the person at the bank or in the supermarket. And sometimes, you know what? You can smile at someone, it can make the day. You can say a kind word to a stranger and you can change their life. And really, that's what life's about. It's about connection. Stop chasing perfection.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. That is so awesome. So I want to thank you, Lee, again, so much for giving us your time and being on the show today. You guys, just like with all of our podcast guests, you can find an article about Lee and Essentialize on our website in our iWellness for our guest information. We also post that in our Facebook group, 10 Dimensions of Wellness, where you can locate some of our guests as well, link up with them in there. Some of our guests go inside and do courses, they post posts. They promote their businesses, their classes, or anything that they have. So make sure you're checking out that 10 Dimensions of Wellness group on Facebook. We also post the article about all of our guests in there, as well as any of our past shows, any of our future shows, and our new episodes. Thank you again for listening to the 10 Dimensions of Wellness. You can hear us on Spotify, Anchor FM, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and a plethora of other audio platforms. You can also catch us on our YouTube channel, NRI Wellness. And again, check out our Facebook group, 10 Dimensions of Wellness. Thank you so much, you guys, and have a great night.
NRI Wellness brings you the latest health and nutrition information, creates customized nutrition programs, and walks you through the process to ensure your success.